This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Today on the Breakfast Grill, I am talking to Aria Putra Ismail, the Chief Executive of SME Bank. And Aria, welcome back to the grill. We've spoken before on this format. Just in terms of a little recap, SME Bank is, of course, a so-called development financial institution set up to provide capital for economic development projects. Banks like yours are run on a non-commercial basis, driven by socio-economic concerns. Of course, this opposed to commercial banks, which are necessarily driven by the bottom line. So, of course, your sphere of FIs has been very, very important in the last couple of years with the pandemic. Let's start, if you can, Aria, with a snapshot of business in terms of loans disbursed to SMEs on a sequential and quarter-on-quarter basis, just to get an idea of the recovery or otherwise of the SME sector.
Thank you, BFM, for inviting me to this morning grill today. Maybe I just want to share with you a bit of landscape, what had happened. Then we'll talk about how the bank has assisted SMEs during this pandemic to make sure that they stay afloat and survive. I think due to the MCO, we have seen various MCOs introduced by the government just to make sure that the widespread disease not been spread even more and making our economy worse. And we have seen a lot of international borders been closed and, resulting in very weak external and internal demand. And because of this, many SMEs are facing so-called liquidity issue within their organization. They're using their savings to make sure that they stay afloat. And some of them, unfortunately, they have to foreclose their businesses. However, with a lot of initiative and counter-cyclical initiative introduced by the government since MCO 1.0, we have seen the impact to the SMEs in general can be controlled and has been cushioned by this counter-cyclical initiative, so-called. And in addition to that, there are a lot of financing being given by the banks in general through these the TRRF, before TRRF, it was SRF, the fund given by the bank from Bank Negara to make sure that they can sustain their businesses, finance their OPEX. And for SME Bank, we have been taking quite an active role to make sure the funding provided by Bank Negara being channeled to the clients or non-our clients. So we have been receiving a lot of, or majority of our clients has been assisted by that fund.
And of course, Ariane, of course, as you say, the TRF and SRF, the temporary and special relief facilities. So I think that the system has been quite good in dispersing much needed liquidity to the SME sector. But just in terms of the health of the SME sector, I mean, a year ago as of June, I think NPLs for SME Bank was around about 23. So one out of every four loans was going bad as of June last year, according to your financial reports. As of June 2021, that NPL ratio had dropped to about 19%. So still about 1 in 5, or less than 1 in 5. That was in June. So now here we are. Just give us an update in terms of fewer loans going bad or not, because this also reflects the health of the SME sector.
I think for SME Bank, of course, last financial year, 2020, our NPL has been reduced significantly, not to uptrend the ratio. I think you're talking about the general SME NPL, is it? So I just want to confirm
that. This is according to SME Bank's financial results, latest announcement. So this is your year ago and current as of June.
As of now, our NPL has been trimmed down to about 15%. So in short, we can see that, of course, the pandemic is still there, and a lot of SMEs been still struggling to stay afloat. But because of the moratorium and also financial assistance that we have given to SMEs, we have seen most of them can stay afloat. Not only that, we also deploying our SEDA, the Center for Entrepreneurial Development and Research, to make sure that they provide trainings and capacity building for the SMEs to face not only during pandemic, but post-pandemic. So in short, that's how we mitigate the risk of SME to close down the businesses. Of course, some of the factors that beyond our control. I mean, if the economy is not really coming back, going forward, which I think is going to come back, nothing much we can do, but we still continue to make sure that other form of assistance can be given to our clients. For example, the R&R, the restructuring and rescheduling. We've been very active in that. And then if you realize that we have announced the SRP 3.0, SRP is SME Relief Program 3.0, where even though the government has announced a moratorium until this year end, but we know that some of the sectors couldn't really come back, even though by end of the year. Therefore, we have identified and we have engaged most of our clients, and we come up with the new so-called initiative to help them. Some of the sector we give extension of moratorium until March and June next year.
Okay.
We know that they can't really come back.
Yeah. According to your numbers, construction, education, financial services, manufacturing, some improvement, still bad, but some improvement, but not transport and F&B retail. So I presume these are still the sectors that are affected by lockdown and, of course, production limitations in terms of the workforce capacity, right? Hotels, right? So when you talk about SME banks, 15% NPLs, what about the rest of the DFIs, Bank Pembangunan, and I'm sure you talk to them all the time. Just in terms of your peers, how bad is it still in terms of NPLs?
Of course, personally, I don't know about their NPL in detail, but from our engagement through our association, the ADFIM, Association of Development Financial Institution Malaysia, the thing that I can conclude here is we can contain the NPL. We can contain the NPL, and we don't see any knee-jerk reaction or significant increase of NPL going forward when it comes to SME sector. Of course, when we talk about SMEs, SME Bank has the largest exposure to the SMEs, and Agrobank is on the agricultural sector, and Bank Pembangunan is more on a big infrastructure project. And I was informed that all of them are still can contain the NPL.
Yeah, and of course, Arya, I want to also talk about the capital constraints or otherwise your capital adequacy ratios. I know the government is trying to raise the debt ceiling. That will come up for discussion in Parliament soon. Just in terms of your own capital adequacy ratios, where are you at on that front?
We are around about 19%, which will be very, very healthy. If you look from a regulatory perspective, banks are expected to maintain about 8%. Of course, the FI, they will put some buffer to make sure that we have healthy capital to cushion any negative reaction or impact. But looking at our current RWCR, we still can grow about more than $1 billion+. And we are not here to maintain our customer forever. Our role is basically to nurture and pass it on to commercial banks. So we have to make sure that we have enough time and a good plan to build the capacity of the SMEs through our financing and also capacity building and pass it on to the banks. So
yeah,
it's not really a constraint.
Of course. So I want to also talk about some impairments that have been stated in your accounts. As at June, you've set aside money for impairments marked to companies like FVOCI and AC. Who are they and what happened? I mean, in terms of just who these entities are, FVOCI and AC, what happened? Yeah.
I think this is more to be prudent. I mean, those companies that we spare some impairment is because of their going concern, and we want to be prudent. We are not here to cover everything, but we have been prudent in terms of managing our balance sheet. Even though it's not really impacting the client, but internally we are going to record some impairment,
especially.
Starting from the moratorium.
Yeah, and I also want to ask you about Evergrande. You know, $300 billion in debts. You know, Malaysia does a lot of trade with China, right? And of course, Evergrande has got its tentacles all over the world. I just want to ask whether any of your clients or within your loan book, you've got any exposure to Evergrande, just in case anything happens.
Yeah. So far, we don't have any. I mean, our clients doesn't have any exposure to them. And most of our clients are really, you know, relying on domestic suppliers and, you know, partners in their businesses. So, yeah, we are still good. We're still good.
Okay. I'm talking this morning to Arya Putra Ismail, the Chief Executive of SME Bank, and we are, of course, discussing the health or otherwise of the SME sector. We'll come back up to this and talk about Budget 2022. Arya will also talk about the ongoing discussion on merging development financial institutions. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Today on the grill, I am talking to Arya Putra Ismail, the Chief Executive of SME Bank, and we are of course discussing the health or otherwise of the financial of the SME sector in terms of the financial constraints. Now, Arya, Budget 2022, right? I'm sure that you guys have been talking to Tunku Zafrul, of course, Dato Sri Nazir Razak, formerly of CIMB, and of course now the Chairman of Bank Pembangunan. Also, I'm sure, very much in the fray where discussions are concerned. What are you proposing as a group to the government for DFIs in the coming financial year? Yeah, financial year for the country.
Seen, yeah, sure. I think what we have seen for the past 1.5 years, or maybe close to 2 years of the pandemic, we have seen a lot of borrowing by the SMEs to stay afloat. And we don't think that by giving more financing, it will make them to survive. Therefore, they need to be different form of assistance. You know, among other proposal that we put it on to MOF is the equity participation. You know, we want to really make sure that they're not being heavy with borrowing. The equity portion need to be improved. So we are putting up proposal that if certain approval can be given to SME Bank or allocation to be given to SME Bank to for us to participate at equity level. It could be the, you know, quasi-equity or any form of equity as long as it's not borrowing. So but with that...
Why would the private sector agree to that though? Because, I mean, equity is the most expensive form of capital, right? Why would they relinquish ownership in their business? They would be loath to do that, though. They would prefer, you know, cheaper money at least.
Mm. No, basically, if you look at from borrowing perspective, the moment they have been they're getting financing from banks, so their gearing ratio will keep increasing, you know, and they will have issues in terms of servicing their financing, even though the rate is low. You know, by participating in equity, not as a tier one equity, but some form of equity portion of the business, it can lighten up their cash flow. So they don't have to pay the installment straight away after the borrowing, and they can delay the payment until a certain period that agreed between the equity provider and also the business. So we're coming from that point. So we believe that by equity participation, it will make the SMEs to sustain even better.
So then what happens on pain of failure? What happens if the company does, you know, God forbid, go down? Then you end up owning the business? I mean, then because SME Bank is not in the business of running businesses, let alone, you know, it should be helping the economic sector revive.
This is the part of equity participation good at, because the moment you are, giving your equity, even though it's not a tier one equity, but You are trying to get involved with that business to make sure that they're all the activities and, you know, the performance is being performed and sustainable. You know, unlike, you know, other form of equity where you just an investor and you put on your equity and you just wait for the dividend.
Yeah. But do you guys have the expertise? I mean, would you need to hire more people? How would you do that at an operational basis?
Hmm. We have SEDA, the Center for Entrepreneurial Development and Research, and we have developed this one team called Corporate Finance, Corporate Advisory Team. So this Corporate Advisory Team, we believe that this team can, of course, we want to expand the team further, But with this establishment of the team, we believe that if we ever venture into this equity participation going forward, we are quite sure that we can manage those portfolio well. Yeah, other than the equity participation, we also foresee that the government might be looking at some tax reform, a reduction in tax for SMEs to make sure that they can stay afloat and they're not burdened to pay tax when the situation is not really good. And also, we are expecting the government to come up with some sort of subsidy or new grant, but it is very targeted to those really affected sectors. So that would be our expectation when it comes to budget 2022. And, it would be some form of fiscal and non-fiscal assistance to be given as well to attract foreign investment. I think we have been lacking in terms of getting foreign investment back to Malaysia. But I think we will see a lot of initiatives to be introduced by the government soon to make sure the FDI will come back to Malaysia and rebuild our country.
We are talking this morning to Arya Putra Ismail, the chief executive of SME Bank. Now, let's move on to something that was first raised a couple of years ago by the then government and the then finance minister, Lim Guan Eng, who proposed that development financial institutions would be merged under one super DFI, right? And that made a lot of sense because there was efficiency issues and, of course, there were also governance issues. DFIs, have not always had the disbursement of capital with the highest of governance standards, quite often political interference and, of course, quite often capital infusion to politically connected parties. Now, of course, the desire is to leave that in the past. Now, with this new government, there are fears and concerns that that political interference might happen again. What is the status of this DFI merger, Arya?
Yeah, okay. First and foremost, I think I just wanted to make my comment on the governance and the policies. I think over the years, we have improved a lot to make sure that our policies and governance has been observed and there is no interference or intervention, to DFI. Therefore, we can see the performance of DFI nowadays has improved significantly in terms of the asset and also the profitability. When it comes to role of DFI, my view is, there is no duplication of duty, but of course merger would be good and bad. And this is totally a shareholders matter for me to say anything. But my view is, first, there's this clear demarcation among the FI, and I believe that any decision made by our shareholder would be for the benefit of the nation. And
what is the progress of this merger, though?
Yeah, the progress of the merger is still within the MOF. Among MOF, the shareholders' discussion, I can't really comment much. We heard that there's some discussion between MOF and Bank Negara, and there's some engagement with all of us. But the thing is still work in progress. We are not sure what would be the format of the merger if that happened. It might not. But as far as SME Bank is concerned, we are ready for anything. Any decision?
Well, certainly in terms of functional overlap, Arya, SME Bank, services the SME sector. And traditionally, historically, I think you've serviced the smaller guys, right? And I think Pembangunan has serviced the bigger guys with the bigger ticket values. So there is definitely some overlap, maybe not functionally, but in terms of conceptual overlap. Then, of course, SMEs are not quite sure where to turn to when it comes to capital injections, right? So obviously, there are some issues. So I know, although you have not necessarily spoken to the upper ups in terms of how this merger is happening, but what would you like to see? What would you like to see from a framework if it was up to you?
I think at the end of the day, what we can't let the bad things happen is when it comes to servicing the SMEs. Be it under one entity or as per now, individual setup. But at the end of the day, we have to make sure that whatever the format is, we need to make sure that all SMEs been served well, and we should be the feeder to the commercial banks, and not to be the bank for forever. for those SMEs. You know, they must graduate and move up the ladder to get financing from SME, from commercial banks. So other than that, I think with the amalgamation of the banks, I'm very sure that if that happened, you know, there will be a synergy. You know, could be from capital perspective, could be from the manpower perspective and expertise, could be from you know, a presence perspective to serve the SMEs. But at the end of the day, you know, the key success factor is whether whatever the format is, can we serve the SMEs well? That would be the benchmark that we should be looking at.
Well, for something that makes so much sense, especially now with the SME sector so under pressure because of COVID, the extension and the delays seems to make little sense. Last March, 2020, right? I think there was a steering committee set up by the Finance Ministry to start the due diligence process. And I think Bangunan also had said that the target operational date for phase one to be completed by the fourth quarter of last year. And of course, that phase one involved Dana Jamin becoming a subsidiary of Bank Pembangunan. So very, very much delayed. Very, very pertinent to the SME sector. It needs to be done. What is your sense of why the delay? Is it because the powers that be are not keen for this, you know, for this new super DFI to be set up? It seems suspicious.
I think the major contribution to this matter is because of the current pandemic situation, not really because of political issues that we are facing previously. But it is more on operational issues. So we have to focus on other urgent matters. You know, of course, merger is a good initiative. But when it comes to pandemic, helping the SMEs, we have to make sure the priority is there. You know, and I believe that the postponement of the implementation is due to that. As you know, Bank Pembangunan is serving the larger part of SMEs. You know, the infrastructure building and those big ticket items, which is beyond SME banks' capacity. And same goes to Agrobank, Exim Bank, you know, when it comes to serving the SME. So I don't think the delay is because of that. It's more on reprioritizing focus to help SMEs.
Okay, well, Ariel, it was a huge pleasure chatting with you. And of course, good luck with the business servicing the SME sectors. And of course, we would hope to have this Super DFI come up in the future. Thank you for spending time with us. We were talking to Ariel Putra Ismail, the Chief Executive of SME Bank BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.